Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at Truth, Red, White, and Black by Robert Morales and Kyle Baker. Let's go. What's up? Pam, 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 pam. I still need a high button that makes that DJ sound. Pam, 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 pam. Yeah, same thing. We are back today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, for a cool, significant,
yeah, this was
amazing, but heavy.
This was a good
comic book.
Yeah, like. And it made me, I was just like, wow, I can't believe that this was out here like so far before Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. This came out in 2003, I believe. Is that correct?
That sounds, it's there-ish.
Yeah. And then who are the creative team again?
Robert Morales and Kyle Baker.
Yes. So we have recorded, this will be our third episode today. I don't think
getting
we have
a little loopy.
What you've been reading, yo.
Actually.
Do you? You've been reading something?
I fooled you.
Yeah,
you see, like I said, we've been going for too long.
So it's going to be relatively quick to jump into this. And then also, I think of anything we've read this month for Black History Month, this one deserves your time the most. I will go ahead and say that it is spicy-ish.
Yeah, like right there on the fourth page.
Yeah. There's no beating around it. Like it's.
Oh, I was meaning spicy from a more sultry standpoint.
Yes, there's
though,
like
the art is very cartoonish. If you've ever seen like, this is going to be very niche, but like they're used, the New Yorker and things like that used to have these cartoons. It may not have been the New Yorker, but George Gershwin had like a very cartoonish caricature drawing that was like very famous of his. And I got that vibe from all this. That would have been like the 20s and 30s, but this is the 40s.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling they're trying to tip the hat to
just
that
to the style of the time, yeah. So super cool. I've got actually a semi-spoilery, but you know, if you know, you know, page up on the iPad right now of Isaiah Bradley dropping in and some pretty familiar duds, if you know what I'm saying. So I think we're going to jump right in. This might be a slightly shorter episode based on how we cover this, but we'll give you our social media stuff in a second. But I just want to say, please read this.
Quick read.
It's a super quick read. There's like seven issues total. It's a great story. I will say I got helped along a little bit by the like there's a little intro blurb at the beginning of every issue that if you read, it kind of recaps what happened before in a very concise, efficient manner. It's so good. And it talks about maybe, I mean, again, we mentioned this two episodes ago with Far Sector, but just some challenging concepts for some people. This book absolutely acknowledges the fact that racism exists, and this kind of digs into some of the effects of that during World War II, and how black soldiers were treated that were fighting for our country still, just like everybody else was. But they, even in those moments of trying to help out our country, they were not treated equally. So, this is a Marvel spin on that story, and it's fantastic. I'll just say that much. It's really good. Read it. It goes down easy.
Is this canon?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes, this is canon. Anything before we get started? Social media stuff? You can find us on the internet.
Find us on the internet. Two Man Comic Book Club with a number 2 on Instagram and Facebook. Two Man Comic Book on Twitter. Mm-hmm. We'd love you to back us on Patreon. Just look Two Man Comic Book Club. Links down below. Our Discord, we love talking about comics and Archive 81, just those two things. Join our Discord. The link is down below as well. There was a big one, and I'm forgetting what it was. Who knows? Alex, what about you?
You can find me on all social media at, almost said at Two Man Comic Club.
No, you can.
At Alex Wayne Miller, W-A-Y-N-E is my middle name, just like Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
Find me, tweet at me, yell at me. Do your thing. Tori, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter sometimes. Not all the time.
It do be like that.
And if you need me, you can find what you need to reach me through DrewMorrisMusic.com.
Yes. So again, I'm nervous to cover this book in the way that we're going to cover it because I don't. It's going to be impossible in any capacity short of me reading and narrating the panels to actually portray all the nuance that goes on in these issues. But what you need to understand is that in the Marvel Universe, during the World War, shortly after Captain America became who he is and it had the super soldier serum injected into him, and then that was lost because the scientist behind it was murdered, so the formula was lost, the Americans and the Germans began this race to see who could recreate the super soldier serum the quickest and most successfully. And this story tells of some scientists coming into the U.S. military and taking 300 African-American soldiers and experimenting on them and torturing them and killing many of them in the process of trying to do this. So read this. Know that there's portrayal of those very tough things that actually happened in the comic world. But, I mean, they parallel things that might have also happened in real life. Mm-hmm. So our three main characters of the soldiers that kind of survived through a lot of this are Maurice Canfield, Isaiah Bradley, and Sergeant Lucas Evans. I will say that they all come from like a different background, and there's like depictions of not quite attempted suicide. So if that is something that might be triggering for you, just be aware of that. And as always, you can seek out help from that from like a suicide hotline if that's something that you need help with. But one of the things that actually keeps that character alive is the fact that he has a purpose to help his country again, which to me just kind of leaned into a moment of like, oh yeah, I mean, there was a wide swath of people from different backgrounds, different walks of life that, you know, found purpose in going to help their country. You know, it was this united thing that they thought they were going to help with, and then they get there and it's not what they thought it would be. So what are the biggest things that you pulled away from this that you think are like the most interesting that won't get too far into the weeds? I'm nervous to just like go off on a tangent. Every issue could be its own podcast almost, like with the amount of things that actually go in here.
I don't know. Just the amount of, what's the word? Just, I don't know, anger I had.
Yeah.
Seeing all this unfold, knowing that, yes, this is a work of fiction, but there's so much truth to, I mean, it's right there in the name.
Yeah.
There's so much truth to what the source material that they're pulling from. And if you just look, I have this first issue of the second one pulled up, and these
first page of the second?
The first page of the second issue. I'm just looking at it. We have a bunch of the black soldiers who have just gone to dig latrines.
Yeah.
And they're walking back in, and every white person that they pass is just looking down their nose at them. And I'm just like, I hate it. But then there's a little turnaround where the Sarge comes and he basically says, you know why you're doing that?
Right.
It's because it just takes a split second, you know, and it's like, there's a method to this and everything. Yeah. But he's like, you don't know what's going to happen out there. And because you're having to go through this, it makes you more equipped to be effective out there because you've experienced this. Whereas if somebody has to see what happens when somebody dies and their bowels release and it gives them a split second to allow somebody else to swoop in and kill them, you've already had to experience these smells. I mean, and this is just one tiny little thing, just the smell of digging latrines, but I was just like,
there's a method to the madness.
Any kind of hesitation on your part will definitely mean that you die in this war. So, I mean, just like, even though, I mean, this is the guy you said he has a purpose now. So like little things like that, everybody, even though some of them may be like, Maurice, that was one of his, Maurice was here because he picked a fight with some people and the cop or the judge basically gave him a choice. Either you can spend your life in jail or you can enlist.
Right.
Isaiah joined willingly.
Yep.
And the Sarge is going back into it because he finally has a purpose again.
Sure.
So I mean,
he's already been in it and he'd been demoted.
Yeah.
For racist reasons. that you should read. I think the important thing, we'll just hit like kind of a big chapter transition thing. So basically they get to the military. It's not, you know, quite turning out how they thought. They're having to deal with a lot of issues. And those scientists that come in and talk to the sergeant or to the lieutenants or the colonels or whoever's in charge are basically like, we need 300 black men. We're not going to experiment on our white people. We're going to do the testing on them. And they get their wish. So they pick 300 black men and they take them to this area. And then somebody comes up and kills the only guy that was kind of like, mm-hmm. what's going on here? Like, he was a white guy, but he was
the guy who was like, hesitant. Really assuming that all of this was actually, you know, he may not have liked that all these people were being trained to be in a part of his military, but he wanted soldiers.
Right.
And it's essentially this secret sect that is about the government, about the, what's the word, the experiments. They come up and they kill him. And all the black soldiers are out there just like, what just happened?
Yeah. So then they literally randomly select and herd a handful of those 300 onto some trucks to actually do the experiment. And then they mass shoot everyone else. And as Isaiah, Sergeant Lucas, and Maurice are driving off in a truck because they luckily got selected, they just hear gunshots off in the distance, and the end of that issue happens. Mm-hmm. It's a super, just like, I don't know what the harrowing moment, just super intense. Anyway, we next see them like being experimented on, and to the point where like somebody injects one guy so much that he literally explodes. Like his body can't take the sudden excess of muscle and fibrous tissue that his whole body explodes. And they're like, bring in the next one. We won't quite jump up the dose that much next time. But anyway, all three of our guys survive the experiment to like varying effects. Like we learn later that it has some side effects of like making them infertile, or there was another one that was, that I think Sergeant Lucas had.
I don't remember.
I can't remember exactly. I'll probably think of it in a minute. But anyway.
So
they survive.
Yeah, they survive. They get put into action.
But they're super soldiers.
Super soldiers, yeah. There's like, what, six of them maybe that actually survived? And at one point they're on a mission and they, you know, they dispatch all these people. And then they look in the back and they're like, wait, this was medicine. At least we find later, it may not have just been medicine. Yeah. But they start questioning, what are we doing this for?
Right.
Like,
they thought they were taking out weapons, ammunition, but they were just taking out people moving medicine.
One of them says something. He's like, all our guys are dead because we didn't want the enemy to get their bandages. What kind of soldiering keeps the wounded from being human beings? And I was just like,
man. Right. So one of the turning points of this is the last handful of them are on a mission or waiting for a rendezvous for Steve Rogers to come pick them up for their next mission. Mm-hmm. And during this, Isaiah Bradley's actually reading a Captain America comic book, like in canon comic book. Mm-hmm. And they start questioning, like, this comic book was written like a year and a half ago, but it's literally telling the story of like the serum right now. Know about this? Yeah. So they start questioning, and then I forget who, Maurice maybe, starts getting lippy about how Captain America gets to be the pretty poster boy up there, not getting their hands dirty, and they're out here having to kill people and do like the worst of the worst missions. Like,
kind of a similar response that we got in Captain America First Avenger when he was up there and the people out there are talking about it.
Right, like calling him pretty boy and stuff. Yeah. So anyway, they're out there. One of the white doctors, or no, he's a sergeant or captain or something, he comes up really pissed off that they're talking about Steve Rogers, and it gets heated really quickly to the point of either Lucas or Maurice pushes, or sorry, they're trying to fight. Isaiah Bradley's trying to break it up. They push Isaiah off, and he falls down and gets hurt really bad. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not invincible, even though he's this thing. Long story short, both Lucas and Maurice end up dying in this moment, and Isaiah Bradley is very much hurt, but he recovers, and he's the remaining super soldier from this entire experiment. And they send him on one last mission, basically saying, this is a suicide mission. You're not going to make it, but on the off chance that you do, we'll see what happens after that, and maybe we'll let you go. And he's hanging on. We met his wife, Faith, early on, and when he left and enlisted, Faith was pregnant with his daughter. And that's just like the one thing that's holding on to him, but he's being sent into this mission.
Did they actually send him? I may have just misread it. I got the impression he was doing it rogue.
Maybe they did.
Because why else would he have taken the outfit?
Yeah, I'm not sure. He does steal an outfit of Captain America, mm-hmm. and that's the page that I had up on the panel earlier. I'll try to find that again in a second. But it's this. He then goes on to the Nazi camp where they were doing the same sorts of experiments on Jewish mm-hmm. people, and it's some of the art depicted there is really challenging. There's like people filleted open on a table mm-hmm. and like just heads in jars and like just as far as you can see. Dead bodies laying on the table. And
he's just like running dynamite around everywhere.
Right. He's like having to, there's so many dead corpses of Jews. Cause again, we're at World War II and just where they were experimented on that. He's like, he can't help, but just if he's going to destroy this whole thing, he's having to like desecrate these bodies. So he's mm-hmm. like literally crying while doing this because he's seeing the parallels of how Jewish people in Nazi Germany were treated to how he's been treated and how people back home in America have been treated. He ends up blowing it up, but then he ends up getting captured by Hitler and what's his name? The guy that did all the propaganda for Nazi Germany. It was he's in there. This is worth saying.
It'll come to me as soon as we...
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's screaming it right now. It's in issue 6, right? Is that true?
I think it's actually in the end. Wait, I don't know. Did I skip a page?
The end is when he talks to... When like we go back to the present a little bit. Hold on. Where are you at? I see him. Where's his name going to be? This Joseph Goebbels.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
That wasn't who I was thinking.
So, this is like also a super accurate thing, right? So if you don't know your history on World War II, this was a stoking point for Nazi Germany to try to separate, like conquer and divide America because they were very aware of the racial divisions going on in the States during this. So they were putting out legitimate like propaganda, and you can actually Google this and look up some of this to see if they could be like basically talk to all African Americans or black people and be like, listen, our problems are not with you. You can even come over here. We'll take care of you. We'll give you more food. Why should you fight for these Americans when they're not even taking care of you at home? Like it was honestly, I'm sure to an extent very effective for some people, you know, like, you know what? They're right. Why are we fighting for these people? Mm-hmm. And they've twisted this here in this story to where Hitler is literally trying to recruit Isaiah Bradley to switch to the other side because he's, he has ulterior motives. He's aware that their super soldier program has not been successful. And Isaiah Bradley's probably one of the only ones that has, short of Steve Rogers, who he knows he's not going to get. So, super intense moments in here where he's being tortured with that. And then basically all that to say that we just see him escape at one point mm-hmm. at the very end of this. And then we're flashed forward to the present day. Yeah. Like we don't know what happens to him. We see him escape in the sense that he's not in Hitler's direct custody, but he's still like behind enemy lines alone with a small, I guess he's not completely alone, but he's a small band of like, I think just some of the black rebels that came and helped. And it moves on to the last issue, which I'm kind of dominated. I'm going to let Drew talk about just for a second. But again, we are in the future present in the present.
Yeah, basically we've come back and Steve Rogers is on the trail. He's trying to just learn as much as he can about what actually happened. Like right. He wants to know...
To
is
be
there
clear,
truth to this?
He's not aware that Isaiah Bradley or any of them exists at this point until later on in this issue.
I mean, he's talking to one of these guys. I don't even remember who this was. And
he's talking to the guy that shot Lucas and Maurice during that thing. Okay. He's old now and he's been arrested.
Yeah.
And there's some maybe not so subtle... I can't stress enough that you have to read this to pick up on all the nuances, but the guy's a comic book shop owner in real life and he's been arrested.
Oh, you're talking about that guy. I'm talking about the guy he was talking to in here. Oh,
okay.
I don't know who that is. Yeah, I know that little kid or the little guy. But Steve Rogers is trying to get around and learn the truth about this. And yeah, he talks to this Weasley little dude mm-hmm. who was just like a backstabber everywhere. Who somehow, even after telling him, oh, this is all like he's a horrible racist and like trying to get all this stuff. And even after all of this, he's like, will you sign my comic book?
Yeah, he's got the gumption to still act like they're friends.
But and then Steve Rogers goes to talk to this other guy who I think might have been one of the other powerful dudes there who after it's all over, he ends up kind of inheriting the business of one of the guys, the Koch family that had had the business that were part of the German side of all of this.
He basically benefited from everything that had happened in the previous stories in a massive way.
But like, basically, long story short, they're talking and I guess Steve Rogers already had a lot of assumptions from that. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, yeah, well, let me let you know something. He's like, I just got into the stock market game.
Right.
And basically Steve Rogers had a whole bunch, he had a little bit in savings while he was frozen in ice. Mm-hmm. And it's turned into more money than he could ever do anything with.
Right.
And he just used it to buy enough of shares in this Koch, like K-O-C-H, company so that he would be at the meeting the next day, the shareholder meeting.
Right.
And basically relieve let everybody know, like, hey, this guy was doing all this so that he'll like lose his job and you know, ever be a disgrace. And that was kind of a nice little good.
Yeah.
But then we go and Steve has a meeting with somebody, and this woman comes out in a burqa and lets him into her house and start talking. We realize this is Isaiah's wife.
Faith.
And they're talking, and the whole time you're just like, I can't believe this is true. And he's just like, yeah. And then we realize that Isaiah is still alive.
Yeah.
And
they say basically like they recovered him. He healed relatively well because of the super soldier serum, mm-hmm. but he lost his fertility. So they weren't able to have any more kids, which they'd wanted to do. But luckily they'd had one little girl before.
And a bunch of grandkids.
Given them a bunch of grandkids, which later we'll know is Iron, or not Patriot. What's his name?
I don't know.
He's one of the Young Avengers.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Anyway, we'll talk about him later. He did like not quite mentally recover from all of it though. Like it's, you know, from the trauma and the effects, side effects of the medicine. We have to keep in mind like the serum that Steve got was perfected. Mm-hmm. Like, there were no bad side effects. And he's the only one that got that. And then every single version of that since then, whether it's been for the Red Skull or for the Incredible Hulk or for the guy, the ones that they experimented on the black people here, it was not perfect and there were some rough side effects. So he's not quite like mentally as sharp as he used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, she made a comment to them basically saying like he is basically a child, mm-hmm. you know, mentally. And
he doesn't even say a single word the whole time.
Yeah, it's like it's almost Steve like he's intimidated.
Yeah.
But then Steve hands him the tattered Captain America mm-hmm. uniform that he saved all those or shut down that camp in. And he just smiles and he puts it on and they take a picture together. And it's mm-hmm. just a very touching moment. It's touching. And it's also just like almost for me infuriating because it is like a, well, what else can you do? This already happened to him, you know, like it, and it happened many, 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 many decades ago. And, you know, it's kind of like, this is the best I can do in the moment. I don't know. It was a fine and still simultaneously challenging ending for me. Mm-hmm. It just made me think of like, dang, all of that, all of the torture and the life ripped away. And it also mentioned he spent like 17 years in prison mm-hmm. because after him shutting down all that stuff, all they were looking at is, oh, you stole Captain America's
uniform.
That's
right.
You're going to prison for 17 years. And he finally got out. It ruined his life, mm-hmm. and all he gets is a picture with Captain America.
Yeah,
and you know, maybe some sort of resolute feeling at the end for wherever he's at mentally. But I mean, to say that this just ends and everything's all right at the end is stretching the truth. Yeah. To say it, put it lightly. So, and that's how it ends. Like, there's not a rainbow sunflower, you know, ending to this sort of thing. And honestly, I think that parallels a lot of where we are as a society on this whole thing. This, while it may not quite be at the point of what it used to be, it's not over.
Yeah.
And we should not stop talking about it until it is over. And then maybe not even then, because we need to learn from our history. Anyway, what'd you think about this one?
Yeah, it was a punch in the gut.
Yeah, but in a good way, right? You're like, yeah. I'm so glad this exists. I'm so glad there are people that are, you know, one of the things that like Stan Lee made sure to have in Marvel Comics is that it reflected real life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's been carried on in a lot of creators throughout, you know, throughout the existence of Marvel Comics. And this is just another instance of that, stories that reflect the world that we live in. And, you know, sometimes those are good stories and happy, and sometimes they're not. And I'm glad that the creators have not steered away from that sort of thing. Tori, any thoughts on this? I know this is another one that you said you want to go back and read.
Yeah, I would really like to read this one too. I'm disappointed in myself because I failed my New Year's resolution of reading, doing the homework.
It's all right, sir. There's still time. We accept late work. Yeah. Any other thoughts before we move on?
This is another one just like Far Sector. I think you should go find it and read it.
Yes.
The other ones we've covered this month are awesome reads too. Definitely go check those out. But the Far Sector and this one are like saying something.
Yeah, they're heavier. So. We definitely switched it up a little bit. We didn't want to just be doom and gloom all year, but we also didn't want to ignore reality that, you know, some of this stuff has happened and it's tough. And you'll get a better appreciation for, I wish, I know as a big comic book nerd that when I saw Isaiah Bradley in Falcon the Winter Soldier, I was like, I had no idea
freaking out.
And just me having that insight made the show that much better for me. So you being able to have the background of these characters is just super, super useful and adds on to the excitement you feel when you get the depictions of it. So Isaiah Bradley was in several episodes of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and his son or his grandson, who ends up, I think his name's Patriot. I can't remember. I'll have to Google it in a second. Anyway, we'll take a quick break and do some trivia, and then we'll be right back. And we're back with our lightning round trivia, where our questions are faster than my heart was going after reading several moments in this comic. Pretty intense. Cool. This is another standalone trivia round. I will start with this one. His name is Patriot, Isaiah Bradley's grandson, who goes on to be a young Avenger whenever, like, Iron Lad, so he knows a version of King the Conqueror, and both Hulkling and Wiccan, they're all on that team together. I think Kate Bishop, even, and Scott Lang's daughter, Laura? Maybe? Can't remember. Anyway, some trivia about him. He has several abilities, including enhanced strength, speed, agility, stamina, healing and endurance, and he also carries a triangular shield like his grandfather did, and he has some metallic throwing stars. But going back to the ones that are actually abilities, how did he get those abilities?
Was it not just he was born with it?
That was a theory, and he lied about that in the comics, but it was not actually that. He actually took a mutant growth hormone that actually gave him some of those powers, kind of like a steroid almost.
Nice.
And it stuck. So, good guess. That's what he even lied. He told people it was from that, but that's not what it was from.
Can I get some of that mutant growth hormone?
Yes, please.
Though it would probably just unlock my mutant abilities, and I would have one of those ones that like just give me horns
boogers.
Or something. Yeah.
Oh,
it stinks. He has boogers.
Yeah. You just hang up everything.
My fingers always stuck.
Right. All right, you. Right,
my question. So this is, I don't know, it's a multi-parter, I guess. Mm-hmm. So the guy that played Isaiah Bradley, Falcon Winter Soldier, I've talked to you about it before, but can you remember A, his name, or B, another character that he has portrayed in comic book media?
The actor's name? No chance, no shot. What else has he played? He has played in comic book media.
There's a bunch of answers to this.
Wow, he's done a whole bunch of stuff?
And by a bunch, I mean three.
I have no idea. I'll take a guess. He was in Titans.
No.
Okay.
So I'll just go down the list. Carl Lumbly is his name.
Okay, yeah.
And he voiced Cian in Black Panther. I don't know who that is. I'm going to click the button.
Cian, is that one of the spirits?
I don't know. It's just a...
Or is it an animated Black Panther thing he voiced?
It's just a species human. I don't know. Okay, but anyway, it said he voiced them in Black Panther. But the one that I was thinking of is he has voiced John Jones in various animated series, but he also portrayed... He played John Jones's dad in the Supergirl TV show.
Martian Manhunter, right?
Yeah, Martian Manhunter. Cool. He played the Martian Manhunter's dad on the Supergirl TV show, the Arrowverse show.
Cool.
Like, I saw him there, and I was just like, hey,
comic that's book vet.
That's Martian Manhunter's dad.
Yeah, that's super cool. Tori, you got anything for us?
I wish.
Cool. Again, this was a super fun one for us to cover in that it's a good comic book, but also real sobering in some moments. But I still encourage you to seek it out, check it out. The art's a lot of fun, and it has its redeeming qualities for sure. I think, you know, read stories that challenge you. It's good for you.
Yep.
Anything else?
Join the Discord, participate in the Civil War readathon.
Leave comments on YouTube, just like and subscribe, Apple reviews, podcasts, Spotify reviews.
Back us on Patreon.
Give us money.
All that stuff, yeah.
Hang out with us, read comic books, join the Discord for the events. That's all I got.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes. Until next time, we will see you on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast.
Not sure what we're going to cover next.
Bye. Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris. We are back today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast. It's easy for you to say.